We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
What will the Bears' record be in the second half of the season, and where will they finish in the division?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's real pumped up and thinking that the Bears are going to reverse the record and get to 500. I think people think they're in the playoff hunt, mainly because the coach said they're in the playoff hunt. And I think they have not been favored in a game yet. That's changing. The second half of the season, they will be favored in some games. It just takes a certain amount of excellence to actually stack wins in the NFL. You know, you can get to... You can win a couple games in a row, but to win 4 or 5 games in a row, you got to be a good football team, even against teams that aren't very highly ranked and aren't very good. All these teams are flawed, including the Bears. You know, I think they'll end up at. I think they'll end up with 4 wins. They'll probably go 4-4 in the second half. That sounds reasonable. They'll get to 7 wins, and that'll be enough. I think. 7 wins is what they should be shooting for. I think it's unrealistic to think they're going to win 5 of these games. I mean, I think that there's 3 wins that are there for them, but are all the other wins there for them? I mean, there's a couple of losses there, right? Are they going to beat Detroit twice? Wouldn't they lose once to Detroit? Are they going to beat Minnesota the last game of the year? If Minnesota, depending on what their circumstances, are they going to beat Philadelphia? Give me a scenario in which that happens. So I think that there are a few losses on the schedule, and I think there's definitely some wins. But I'll go with 7 wins for the season and 4-4 in the second half.
Yeah, they're already, to your point, Mully, they're 3-point favorites over the Packers coming to Soldier Field. And so if you're going to,
you know, that's not a compliment. You get 3 for being at home.
Right. But it's the first time in forever that they've been favored with Green Bay coming to Soldier Field, because guess what? This time they come without Aaron Rodgers. So if you're going to really be a contending team in this division, you have to win the next 2 games. You have to get to 500, and you have to beat the Lions. Now, you know, everyone's going to look at the Lions last night and say, wow, Matt Stafford, and they're back on track, and here they go. But again, they played the Packers without Aaron Rodgers, so keep that in mind. But, you know, at the minimum, they should split these 2 games, and if you think the Bears really are on an ascending team, they should win those 2 games. Then you get the Eagles, the best team in the NFL, and that's going to be trouble. But then you get 4 consecutive games with teams with losing records, including Cleveland, and Hugh Jackson will still not be answering questions about A.J. McCarron at that point. So you should win at least 2 of those games. So what? There, like you said, there's 3 wins in that group of 6. There's 3 wins sitting there for you. And then the Vikings, 6-2 Vikings currently. Where are they going to be at the end of the season? Are they going to be leading the division, knocking on the door, whatever, you know, clinching the North? So that's going to be difficult. But I would say I'd give them another 3 wins, and on the outside, I'd give them 4 wins. So a 7-9 sounds about right.
5-3 is possible in the second half. I just don't think it happens. I think they land about 4-4. Yeah, it is kind of a big deal that the Bears are actually favored in a game. They should be favored in at least 3 games in the second half. And Cincinnati's a bit of a dumpster fire, too, right now. But they're going to be on the road for that one. I don't think they'll be favored there. So I think they finish the year 7-9 after a 4-4 second half. And they're going to finish 3rd place in the NFC North. Not breaking news, Aaron Rodgers covers up so much with that Packers team. and they stink. We knew the defense was absolutely awful, but now you take him away, you don't have a quarterback. They were able to shut down Jordy Nelson, and you came off the bye. You prepared for Detroit for 2 weeks. So I think Green Bay finishes in last place and the Bears third.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to say you got to at least get 4 wins. This Packers, Aaron Rodgers-less Packers matchup has to be a win. I don't see them. I see them taking one of the two Lions games at least. They've got to win at least one of those. And the Browns, I mean, that's a given, right? That's got to be a given. So, and I'm going to say hopefully the last game of the season, the Vikings, they'll actually pull off a win as opposed to how they gave up that lead in the game earlier in the season. So, yeah, I'm going for 4 wins here after the bye week.
Well, I think you could say 2 for sure, right? The 49ers.
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo will be operating that offense at that point,
will
right?
Will he be?
Well, C.J. Beathard looked like C.J. Beathard on Sunday.
The last I heard is that...
Yeah, what the coach said is no, but I find that hard to
believe. Remember, this was the year of Mike Glennon.
I hope. Listen,
that might
I want to see...
Debut.
I want to see Garoppolo, okay? I want to see the Bears. Listen, you want this team tested. You don't want it to be, well, they beat the Vikings on the last game of the regular season.
I think
season.
This team's going to be tested every week, no matter who's on the other side.
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know that. I don't know that answer. Yeah.
Should the Bulls play Bobby Portis tonight, would that effectively be the end of the Nico Mirotic era?
Well, I mean, you didn't trade him, you didn't cut him, you didn't pay him to go away, so yeah, you should play him. I mean, the idea that he's been practicing while he's serving an 8-game suspension tells you they're going to play him and they should play him. I mean, if that was the discipline the team determined was appropriate, then they don't have the luxury of not playing him. Now, they obviously have the luxury of not starting him because Lauri Markkanen has been at least worth watching, tuning in to watch him, if nothing else. I think the Nico Mirotic era has ended. I mean, I don't think he's softening his stance at all. And I think the idea that he's going to warm up to Bobby Portis you think Nico's watching these games at home, rooting for Bobby Portis and hoping he succeeds or has any kind of puts together or puts up any kind of numbers? I mean, I think it's only going to embolden Nico and make him dig in to say it's either Bobby Portis or Nico. And I think Nico's got some trade value where Bobby Portis doesn't. And he's effectively on a one-year contract. So once Nico's healthy, I think they're going to have to either move him or pay him to go away. And I think that's probably what Nico wants right now.
I think you have to play Bobby Portis because you gave him an 8-game suspension and he served it, and now you're left with a real muddle. I mean, maybe you should have given him a unspecified suspension. He's an indefinite suspension, and thought about trying to bring him back when Nico comes back. I mean, it just seems unfair that one guy is not able to come back and the other guy's coming back. But I think that the very fact that Nico has sort of issued this it's me or him type thing when he comes off the suspension, you can't appear to be kowtowing to another player, especially a guy that's not ready to play. Doesn't mean you can't work behind the scenes and try to get something going. And I would imagine that that when you start talking about Bobby Portis, you would choose Nico over him just in terms of talent. But when is Nico coming back, and how this affects him is not something you can take under consideration. You gave him an 8-game suspension, and he served it, and so he should come back. If this effectively ends the Nico era, that's Nico's decision. And, it's very obvious at this point that there isn't going to be some sort of kumbaya moment where they get together and, a higher power that they can agree upon and move forward together. I don't think that's happening. I think that Nico is really still very hurt and still injured, and I don't think he's any interest in coming back to a team that has Bobby Portis on it. And I think that Bobby Portis is probably the player that the players prefer, just based on the reaction to it. The other thing is that, Nico, he's sort of the villain in this as well as the victim. He's the guy that started it. How many times have you heard that? Nico made a move toward him. Yeah, Bobby wasn't. I mean, it just seems, I feel bad for the guy, and I feel bad that this other guy's coming back, but I don't think they have any other choice. I think they can't appear weak, and they got to appear like they're a strong organization. And the Bulls are, you know, I mean, I know we ridicule the coach and there's been problems. The Bulls are a good organization. They're not, they are a good organization. They know what it is to win, and they know what it takes to win. They have not been able to break through, obviously, since Jordan left, but they're not some, you know, they're not some Cleveland Browns or some.
Okay, you're just,
you know,
at the word. They're not the Cleveland Browns, but Molly, right now they are. At least they are. Who's more laughing stock?
I'm just
stock
saying
in the NBA?
They value.
What do they do?
Character,
put in old VHS
and they value,
tapes and watch Jordan.
They value
play?
Ways to go about it. I'm just saying they're not going to be pushed around by a player. They can't be, and they won't be. So they're not going to be. So they got to play the guy.
Yeah, you play Bobby Portis. I've heard some people floated out, oh, don't play him until Nico's healthy. That's just fantasy land stuff. What Portis did was awful. We all understand it. He's a 22-year-old. You drafted in the first round on his rookie deal. You don't waste time where you are in this rebuild at the bare bottom. You get him out there and find out what he is before he's a restricted free agent in a couple of years. Then you make your decision on the guy then. But you have to play Bobby Portis. And, yeah, I do think it will be the end of the Nico Mirotic era.
You know, yeah, they should. The Bulls should definitely play Bobby Portis. He's suspended his he served his suspension. It's time to move on. It's time to move forward. And as far as the end of the Nico era, that ended when the Bulls allowed Bobby Portis to practice with the team. And, you know, and we've read reports of how Nico reacted and how he no longer wants to potentially be a part of the team because of that. You know, yeah, Nico was the instigator here. Bobby Portis served the suspension, and it is what it is. It's over. It's time to move forward from this mess.
Well, since they made an awful decision to keep Bobby Portis around, yes, you have to play him. If he's on the roster and he's been practicing and you've kept him around, then of course you have to play him.
Yeah, it's a great question.
How many years would you offer Jake Arrieta in an effort to keep him? How about Wade Davis?
It's interesting. I think you should keep him. I think, you know, Jake is the best pitcher on the free agent market. And I think that, you know, would you feel better if they brought Jake back for a few years, or if they brought back or if they brought in Yu Darvish? If it was Yu Darvish, would you feel, oh, well, that's great. And apparently he doesn't want to be here anyway, but isn't that something beautiful? Or he wasn't going to be traded here. Maybe he'll go for wherever the money is. They've got money. I think they ought to bring Jake back. The problem is the years, and that's where this question comes in. I would not offer him more than 4 years, and I don't think 4 years will get it done. But if you offered him 4 years at $125, $130 million, how would that work for the guy? Would that make up for the fact that he wouldn't have the other couple of years on the back end? But, you know, the closer it comes and it's, you know, the guy's on his way out, that's a tough one to swallow, because you're really going to be struggling. You're going to have to trade something. You're going to have to make some move. You know, I would bring him back. And as far as Wade Davis is concerned, what would get Wade Davis a 3-year deal? Could you give him 3 years? Could you justify 3 years?
Depends how much you want to pay him on those 3 years.
And I don't think you're going to pay both guys. So you're kind of choosing one or the other. And I would probably choose Jake, and I'd try to do it over 4 years. I'd only go 4 years. I don't think I go 5 years, and I don't think he wants 4 years. So I think it'd be hard to do, but I would definitely try to say four at 130, something like that.
Well, with Jake, it's interesting. With Cueto deciding not opting out, and with Tanaka not opting out, I asked this yesterday. Are agents telling them, guess what? You know, with the new blueprint where the managers are hooking the likes of Rich Hill, even Clayton Kershaw, by the fifth inning, how much are you willing to pay starters anymore? Are they at a premium when it seems to be bullpen arms that are the premium? That, you know, you can, even in the postseason, you don't want to get 6-7 innings out of your starter. You're itchy to go get. So, I mean, is there a 6-year, $30 million contract out there for Jake, even though he's the number one pitcher on the free agent market? I'm not so sure there is. So I'm with you, Molly. I don't think 4 years gets his attention, but maybe 4 years with a player opt-out after 2 years, and then you overpay him on the money. So maybe you get to $30 million per at 120, but say, hey, Jake, you have another couple of years like Cy Young Jake and Bob Gibson-esque Jake. And then you can opt out. Now, you're that much older, and it, you roll the dice, and injuries certainly can happen between now and then. You might at least have a conversation, and you might have to get to 5 years with a two-year opt-out. I don't know. But that would be the player option. So he knows he's got 5 years guaranteed or 4 years guaranteed, but 2 years into it, he could take a look at it and decide whether he's worth that or that much more. With Wade Davis, go back and watch the playoff games again if you don't see a reason that you need to have Wade Davis here. Qualifying offer is $17 million and change. Kenley Jansen's going to make that in 2018, and then he can opt out in 2019. So you're not going to give him that times three or four, but would you give him 14 times three? 14 times three, get him to, 42, 43, 44 million in there? I'd do it. Because even at his age, you saw what the Cubs bullpen looked like without him. Hopefully that would get it done. If he really likes staying here and believes the Cubs are going to be a perennial playoff team, I'd give him 3 years guaranteed and give him about a $14 million per and see if that gets his attention.
Yeah, I would look at as far as a max for Jake, 3 to 4 years. But if I'm the Cubs, I don't even know if I offer that because why disrespect the guy? You have a good relationship with him. He's not going to come close to accepting it. But, you probably do offer it. But my plan with the rotation is they need three guys. You have, of course, your top three, Lester, Hendricks, Quintana. But they need at least three guys, one a middle of the rotation guy, then the rest you fill in back end of the rotation. They plan for starters 6 and 7. They understand they've been through this enough that there will be injuries happening. And I would love to know where they stand with Mike Montgomery.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
What is the plan?
Is he going into the rotation permanently? You can't keep really going shuttle back and forth, can you?
Are they going to make a trade? Are they going to try and get Chris Archer?
Are they just signing Lynn and Cobb and calling it a day?
Well, I wouldn't mind that approach either. The guys that aren't as expensive, not as old, maybe a bounce back situation. You think you can get something out of Chris Tillman, whose value is extremely low. He was bad this year for Baltimore. For the back end of the rotation, would you really mind Lynn and Cobb filling it out? I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. But I think what we're going to be talking about a lot. What are you going to do with Happ, Schwarber? Is Baez staying? Are all these guys going to stay, or do they finally end up moving one of them? Are we sure that Wade Davis is not accepting the qualifying offer to be the highest-paid closer this year and betting on himself? Possibly, but probably not. The numbers, the saves that he converted, unbelievable. Only one blown save on the year for Wade Davis. But how many times was he walking that tightrope? I was just waiting for it to fall apart so many different times. I would go shorter contract there, too. We know how they feel about bullpens. Could be great 1 year, horrible the next. I don't see them wanting to go 4 years like the Giants did with Melanson, and a year later they were looking to unload that contract. It looked like bad money right away. But we know the Cubs are going to be in the mix. I would try to keep it to 3 years for Wade Davis, because I just don't see another plan. Unlike the rotation, there are options out there, especially with all the position players that you have and in free agency. There don't seem to be a ton of options as far as closer goes.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about some guys that are getting up there in age 31, 32. But when you do look at that Cubs closing situation, they haven't secured anything. Edwards is not who they thought he would be at the end of this season, so I think 3 years... some kind of three-year deal for Wade Davis to lock him up for the next few years here would be a smart move. As far as Jake goes, I mean, he's reportedly out there saying he could play for another 7 years. He thinks he's like the Tom Brady of the MLB. I mean, Jake's in great shape and all of that, and certainly turned his season around last year, but I don't think you'd want to go more than, I think Joe brought up a four-year a deal there. I don't think you'd want to go anywhere past offering something like that, just because you don't know where he's going to go.
We hear disrespect Jake, and here, okay, they have Lester, they have Hendricks, they have Quintana. You really only need, assuming you can get back to the postseason, you only need three guys. Maybe you need a fourth, okay? Are those three guys good enough in the postseason? You have to ask yourself to get you. Are those three pitchers the pitchers to get you back to the World Series. I don't think they are. I don't think they are. And you can say, oh, the Cubs have this big window. Nothing. It took the Dodgers 29 years just to get back to the World. There's no guarantees. And Jake Arrieta, the likely landing spot, I read Milwaukee is his likely landing spot. is Jake just interested in cash? If it's just
yes.
about...
Yes.
We keep hearing years, though. I wouldn't offer four. I wouldn't offer five. Okay, Jake, what's the number? Is it 100? Is it 120? Brian, I like your idea. I don't think he goes for it, though, with opting out because of age and wear and tear. So if it's 120, listen, you know what? If the Cubs are willing to pay me 125, I'll take it. Fine, then spread it over 3 years if that's what you got to do, because you're still getting the majority of your everyday lineup at very, very, very below market value. So front load the con. I just don't. I want to know. Does Jake want to win again? What's important to
this
Jake?
This is his only payday, really, right?
Well, but yeah.
He's been waiting forever.
His only pay. I mean, come
he's
on.
In it, yeah.
He's going to make $100 million no matter what from somebody. So where do you want to make the $100 million at? So he's going to go to Milwaukee to make $125 instead of staying with the Cubs for $100? Then get out. Then go north of the Cheddar Curtain. The extra $25 million. Who? Your grandkids? Grandkids? I mean, who are we talking about at this point? How about him being loyal to the organization? How about that? And Wade Davis? I like that idea. Let's see if he wants to bet on himself. But I wouldn't give Wade Davis more than 2 years max. No. Mm-mm.
It's another Cubs question, but that's why I'm here.
Did the Cubs get snubbed by not being among the finalists for any of the BBWA awards?
Yeah. Initially, you look at it and say, no, of course not. But I certainly not for Cy Young, certainly not for MVP. Although, Joey Votto? Really? Joey Votto. And I get you look at his slash line and his OPS over one. I mean, I got to go Dustin on this one. The guy had an opportunity to leave Cincinnati, and he likes cashing his checks, Canadian with lots of American money, and he likes playing for last place team, and that organization's not going anywhere anytime soon. And he likes life's good for Joey. Okay, I can't vote for him. I'm sorry. And the idea that he's going to be one of the exceptions to the rule that you have to be a playoff team to get the MVP, let alone a last place team. No, thank you, Joey. You know, yeah, great. Keep putting those numbers up in Cincinnati. No one cares. I think Joe, for as much flack as we dish out, and I'm in criticizing him on specific moves and games, I think Joe probably should have been under consideration for NL Manager of the Year, because history tells you World Series teams don't even make the playoffs, let alone get back to winning a World Series, and he got to the NLCS. So I would say that Joe might have an argument, but I wouldn't stand on the mountaintops and scream that this has been the biggest disgrace or since the history of baseball. So other than that, I think Joe, but none of the players should feel like they were snubbed.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a snub. I mean, none of them made the All-Star game, right? I mean, you had Wade Davis in the All-Star game as the only Cub, and that was wrong, by the way. But nonetheless, I don't think you should have an All-Star game without Chris Bryant in it. I think he's their best player, and he should have been there. As far as this is concerned, you know, it was a little bit of a letdown of a season, whether anyone wants to admit it or
slog,
not.
It was a real slog.
It was a difficult season for them, and... you know, I don't think they were worthy of any of the awards. The argument with Joe kind of ends with the leadoff hitter. You know, it's just kind of a rough one. Whether that could have worked, should have worked, could have been tried, made sense. Whatever, you know, the logic behind it aside, it just didn't work, and it ended up taking a guy who was a pretty good asset. And I don't know if that is the reason his season became so difficult for him, but it certainly changed his career trajectory for a lot of people. And I think that one is a black mark on you, that you're not going to be Manager of the Year when that happens. So I don't think they should feel snubbed. I think that next year's a new year, and I think there'll be a lot of bounce backs, and they'll be up and running for every award you can think.
No snub. He can't even make an argument for MVP or Cy Young. Rookie Ian Happ, I like what he did this year, but the guy couldn't get on the field every single day. Manager, Bud Black, Lavulo, Roberts. Who are you removing there? I can't. With Arizona and Colorado, with the surprising seasons that they had and the dominant run for a time with the Dodgers, wasn't a fan of some of his work in the postseason with Dave Roberts, but I can't remove any of those names for Joe Maddon, so no snubs here.
Yeah, I agree with no snubs. I mean, Cy Young, Kyle Hendricks didn't repeat that type of season. Struggles just came in waves all across the board with the Cubs this season. Offensively, as far in terms of like a National League MVP would be concerned, your stars just were consistently not pulling you through. Chris Bryant, you know, just did not just fell short, fell flat in the playoffs. So, no, I'm going to say absolutely not a snub.
Well, clearly, he wasn't going to win the award, but I'm going to jump on what Hanley said there. I mean, if Joey Votto is going to make the list, does it matter if you make the list? Does it matter if you're a finalist? How Joe Maddon couldn't be on the list, right, is amazing to me. He should at least be on the list. If Joey Votto's on the list, then in my opinion, Tony Rizzo should be on the list. Okay, I'm only saying Tony because Kevin's not here today. I just will show a little support for Kevin Zepak. Hope you're enjoying NYC, buddy.
See, but he would love a Joey Votto because of the slash
line,
right?
Oh, right. I mean, listen, you know, pass it, you know, get you to the three-box set at Walmart or whatever, right?
Kleenex?
Okay, yeah, I mean, three for one, right? I mean, with the lotion in it and everything. But come on. I mean, give me a break. Joey Votto? I mean, yeah, he had a nice season. What did it mean, though?
Yeah.
What did it mean?
If you took him off the Reds, they're still last place
team,
right?
They're still last place team. Yeah, so right. It's what does it mean? Did he put butts in seats?
No, that's your Andre Dawson argument.
When Joey Votto went up to Milwaukee, did Milwaukee Brewer fans come out to see the great Joey Votto?
No.
I don't think so. I like his attitude. I like his hustle. I like that he wears his socks up, that he tucks his shirt in. He probably wears his jock. I like all that stuff about the guy. He comes prepared. I'd like him on my team. Yeah, but come on.
Probably.
I mean, if Joey Votto's a finalist, then so should Tony Rizzo. And so should Joe Maddon.
Boy, that's a great question.
Should the Cubs try to move Jason Hayward in the offseason?
Well, you know, the only way you could is if you did
not pay anybody else.
Is if you did bad contract for bad contract. And there's been talk of Samardzija in San Francisco being out of favor. So would you make a move like that? And that would open up playing time, and that would open up other possibilities. And I know the guy gives great meeting and is, you know, a wonderful defensive player. I understand that. He's also, you'd save, what, $130 million on the contract if you could move it? And, you know, Austin Jackson made, like, what, $3 million this year, something mm-hmm. like that? And you're getting a great defensive player that doesn't hit. I think this is a tricky one because he has absolutely no trade value. But if you could move him just to clear up the money, would you do it? And again, you probably have to take out a bad contract. But if you manage to do it with the Giants, if you manage to get somebody, maybe the change of environs might help the guy. Maybe you know something about him, or maybe he'd, you know, revert to what you thought he might have been at one point. I don't know. But I would definitely try to move him because you can use that money elsewhere.
That's, you know, the list of bad contracts that come close to matching Jason Hayward's really short list. So Samardzija is certainly on there. And think about that. A few years ago, he was snubbing the Cubs for $125 million. I couldn't possibly sign for that. Okay. And now Jake Arrieta, we're trying to figure out the price of playing poker for Jake. That would probably be about the only guy that makes sense. Other than that, you'd have to cut a check for $100 million to even get someone on the phone to talk about. And Jason Hayward playing in AT&T, still AT&T ballpark out in San Francisco, that would make more sense for having the best defensive right fielder out there. There's much more area to patrol out there. So from the Giants' vantage point, of course, he's still in, quote-unquote, the prime of his playing career, even though the turnaround season didn't happen this year as much as he put in the offseason. You hope there'd be better returns on that. So that's about the only dance partner I see. Other than that, you're talking about swallowing a lot of money and cutting a big-time check just to move him out and be done with him, and I don't see that happening. So they should, of course, you should try to move him, but I don't see it happening. I think Jason's here for as long as that contract calls for.
Yeah, what's his actual value compared to what the Cubs are paying him right now? There's $145, $46 million
highest-paid motivational speaker in the history of motivational speakers.
Yeah, of course you try, but you're also going to have to eat a ton of money, and you probably have to give up one of your top young players just to get rid of this guy. So I just don't see it happening. How much of that would you have to eat if it's in the 140s that they owe the guy? Jesus. You have to owe, yeah, at least $100 million.
Yeah.
So he's going to be roaming right field for a while.
Hey, Jake, we can't offer you a contract because we're paying Jason to go away, but thank you.
I mean, there's just nothing they can do. This contract is the – I mean, not that there's nothing they can do. You know, Mully brought up that Jeff Samardzija idea. That is a good solution, if any. But this contract just makes it so difficult, and I would like them to just because he hasn't produced. You get, you know, and you admire the work ethic. He took the whole offseason after that World Series victory to you know, get his batting right, and he still just hasn't produced. So should they? I think they should find some way, but it will be difficult.
So there's been that fantasy baseball GMing going on, right? So we've heard Hayward for Samardzija and Melanson. Right, and it's two bad contracts right now. You know, change of scenery might help. Listen, change a hitting coach. Let's see what the great Chili Davis is supposed to be. Fantastic. A fantastic hitting coach. The Cubs made a huge upgrade, supposedly. Okay, let's see. Let's see what kind of effect Chili Davis can have on Jason Hayward. I'm willing to do that. But what was our first question? Or, sorry, our third question, the 5-5. You know, should Jake Arrieta and or Wade Davis, and or both gone. Well, if you could actually pull that off, if you could throw Jeff Samardzija at the back end of the rotation as your fourth or fifth starter, and then you could bring in Melanson and have him work with the new great pitching coach, right? We've got the great pitching coach up from Tampa,
Jim Joe Schott. Hickey.
Okay, so let's see what Hickey can do to Melanson. And then Hayward is gone, so now that does what? It opens up an everyday spot for Ian Happ, right? Potentially, or Zobrist can go out there and spend some time. So if that all works, you could solve a couple of problems. You now can give Almora Jr. and Ian Happ more playing time. You would get a back end of the rotation guy, and you would get a closer that everybody wanted. And I think a lot of the closers, they've got these, it's all between the ears, right? Melanson's got the physical abilities. Maybe he just needs somebody better.
So is Justin Wilson, apparently.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. You get two players and they get one. That's an issue. You're still $40 million apart between Hayward and then the value of those two contracts.
So then split the difference. Ricketts cuts a check and you split the difference. It's fantasy. It's fantasy.
I think you need another player, young player their way.
Well, then the answer is no.
All right, that is the 5-5, 312-644-6767. What do you think? Will the Bears' record be, what will it be in the second half, and where will they finish in the division? Should the Bulls play Bobby Portis tonight? And are you worried about the end of the Nico era? If that happens, how many years would you offer Jake in an effort to keep him? What about Wade Davis? What would you do there? Did the Cubs get snubbed by not being among the finalists for any of the Baseball Writers Association awards? And should the Cubs try to move Jason Hayward in the offseason? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.